Here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's a delight to see all of you gathered here this Sunday morning, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. First of all, our food pantry volunteers tomorrow are Shirley Gorman and Linda Morgan. You will see in the back of the church our bucket that says food pantry on it. I put it there, taking it out of its place where it was hidden, in recognition that the food pantry is in need. More and more people are coming to the food pantry, and the shelves are becoming barer and barer. So what we need to do is to remember when we go to the store, if you just buy one more can of whatever it is you're shopping for, it adds up over time. So that's going to be back there. It may go back into its usual place once we start remembering that it's there. But please think about our neighbors in need. Our community VBS begins tomorrow at Summit Church. It is for those who are 4 years old up to fifth grade. I'm going to be there leading one of the sessions. So I'd love to see some familiar faces among all the other faces I'm going to be seeing. Even if you kids can come for only one night, we'd love to have you. So even if you haven't signed up, come tomorrow night. We want to see you there. I want to see some people. We're going to be having a lot of fun. We're going to be doing a vacation Bible school that is entitled On the Case. So we're going to be looking for clues and talking about some of the parables, some of Jesus' stories. So please come join us. It should be fun. You'll see wildflowers here today. Those have been given by Dean Knauer in loving memory of Marilyn. And one other announcement. If you will please hold in prayer Shannon Neustel and Mark Bolvin, who are to be united in marriage on Saturday. Are there any other announcements? If not, let us join together in our gathering with our confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Guide Me Ever, Great Redeemer. It is number 618. Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Yeah.
pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy, forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in Scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 18th chapter of Genesis. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave are their sin. I must go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went to Sodom, while Abraham remained standing with the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous and the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you sweep them away? Will you sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. I, who am but dust and ashes, suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lucky. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it, for if I find 45 there." And again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of the 40, I do not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose there are 30 found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose we found 20 there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 148 responsively. "I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down before your holy temple and praise your name, because you have steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord. The great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet ears are lowly, perceiving the high from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands."
The second reading is from the second chapter of Colossians. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abandoning in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come into fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, and he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set us aside, nailing it to the cross, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you had a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do we have any children who want to come forward for the children's jab? Big children can come up, too. I see you want to come up, don't you?
The number of times I've come up when there have been a few children. Adults are always welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Good. I have a few questions for you. Have you ever asked your mom or your dad for something to eat? Yes. And let's say it is lunchtime, and you know your mom's probably going to be preparing sandwiches for you. Has she ever? Let's say, or whatever. What does she usually? What does she usually give you for lunch?
Nothing.
Okay, that's the end of this. She usually gives you nothing. All right. How do you usually get fed? Okay, so someone has taught you to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Mom taught you to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She's taught you now to fend a little bit for yourselves. But has she ever said, "I'm not going to buy you peanut butter and jelly anymore. Instead, I'm going to give you this rock. Just suck on this rock."
No.
Now, why would she not do that? Because she's your mom. And so what is it about being your mom that would make her not just tell you, "Here, have a rock"? You can't eat a rock. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You can't eat a rock. And in our gospel today, they talked about if you ask for a fish, I'm not asking if you like fish or not. If you were to ask for a fish, your mom wouldn't turn around and give you a snake instead and say, "Eat this," right? No. Or if you said, "I want scrambled eggs this morning," she wouldn't turn around and say, "Well, I'm going to give you some scrambled scorpion instead." No. Why would she not do that?
She doesn't know. scorpions?
Because there are no scorpions. Apparently, this is not Southern California. We have scorpions coming in all the time. I happen to really dislike scorpions, nasty little things. They put their tails up and they want to sting you. They're just not something you want to eat, right? What it's really saying is that your mom knows how to take good care of you, right? Mm-hmm. And she does. Why does she take good care of you?
Because
you are her children. That is exactly the case. And that's what our gospel lesson is saying, is because our moms and dads know how to take care of us, and they know how to give us good things, our Heavenly Father knows how to give us even better things. So we look at what our parents can do for us, and we think, if they can do this, how much more God can do for us. All right, so let's pray. Our good God, our heavenly parent, we thank you for loving us and for giving us the good things that we need just because we are your children. And we thank you for your love and your care. And we thank you for parents who've shown us the love and care that they have. And if they can do what they do for us, oh, how much more you can do for us, God. Amen. Thank you.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel reading begins. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." If we read the gospels for any length of time, we know that Jesus was always in prayer. Jesus was always communicating with his Father. He would go to a separate place, a quiet place, and just pray. Because he needed that constant contact, that constant communication with the one that he knew loved him and was going to get him through the difficult days of his ministry. And the disciples, knowing that he was a person of prayer, said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just like John taught his disciples." Now, we don't know the prayer that John taught to his disciples. It's not recorded in our scripture. But we do have two versions of what we always call the Lord's Prayer. Although it really is more the disciples' prayer, isn't it? Because it's a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. What we have this morning is a shorter version. If we look in the Gospel of Matthew, we see the more familiar version that we pray all the time. But this one is really short. It begins, "Father." It begins, "Father." It begins with that acknowledgement that God is our heavenly parent, that God is someone we should be able to trust to provide for us, that God is someone who cares for us and loves us just like our human parents love and care for us, and even more so. So it begins, "Father." Then, "Hallowed be your name. May your name be holy." I don't know about you, but I've noticed that there is a lot of lack of holiness in the name of God these days. Too often it is used as a curse word rather than a word, a name that should be cherished. It is also an acknowledgement that God's name is made holy through our lives. So think of that for a moment, that as we live our lives, we are making God's name holy through our love for our neighbor, which reflects our love of God. "Your kingdom come." Throughout the Gospels, Jesus talks about how the kingdom is almost here and how God wants us to help make that kingdom known. "Give us each day our daily bread," meaning give us each day the things that we need, not necessarily the things that we want, but the things that we need. And forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And that makes me pause a little bit, because it sounds as though I need a little bit more work to do, because I don't always forgive everyone who is indebted to me. And I need to make that true, just as I need to make God's name holy, true. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And yet we seem to be at the time of trial every day. But it's acknowledgement, too, that if you bring us to the time of trial, Lord, we expect you to get us through that time of trial. So this is a prayer we know well. And then we get to some parables. And the first one, just imagine that. If someone were to come to your door in the middle of the night, banging on your door, it's like, get up, get up. And you're thinking, I'm in bed. I don't want to get up. I'm nice and cozy in my bed. Can't you go away? But where is this person to go? The store is closed. They've come to you because why? Why is this person banging on your door and not someone else's door? Why do you think they're banging on your door? Anyone? They think that you might be nice. They think that you might be the one to give them something, right? That's exactly right. They're banging on your door because they expect you to give them what they ask for. And we're told this story because we're told to bang on God's door. And how do we bang on God's door? It's not by going to the front of the church and banging and hoping that someone will answer. Although plenty of people do that every week. We need to work on that ring cam, because it doesn't work if you ring the door. You have to bang on the door, and if anyone's here, we'll answer. That's the thing. If anyone is here, we'll answer that door. And when we bang on God's door, do we expect someone to be there? When we bang on God's door in prayer, we expect God to be there. And we expect what? That God will answer us. And why will God answer us? Because God has promised to. That's exactly right. God has not only promised to, but God has told us that this is what we should do. That we should bang on God's door in prayer. And this man coming in the middle of the night, is he asking for something that he needs or something that he wants? Something that he needs. He's not saying, why don't you make me some, you know, lovely piece of cake or a cupcake because I really want to just, you know, be a really good guest and entertain my friend. He's saying, no, I have someone who has come to my door and I don't have anything to feed them. He's asking for a need, not a want. And we're told there in verse 8, it says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. And this is when we have a little bit of a problem with that word that is translated as persistence. Because as several commentators state, that's really not the best translation of that word. Instead, they believe that the best translation is one that means shamelessness, a lack of sensitivity, a willful lack of concern about public shame. As one version says, because of your shameless audacity. Another, your shameless persistence. And still another, impudence, meaning impertinence or rude boldness. So it's not just that we're asking over and over and over again. It's that we're asking with boldness. We're asking not caring what the rest of the world may think about our requests, but being bold, knowing that God has asked us to pray this way, to pray in boldness and in confidence that God will hear us, that when we knock, God is there and God will answer. Sometimes it seems to take God a while to answer our prayer. Sometimes I think the problem is that we are asking for our wants rather than our needs. I have a verse that I seem to find it everywhere. I can't escape this verse. And once again, last night, it showed up in something I was reading. It is Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How easy it is to misunderstand that verse and think, all I have to do is just pray and be delighted that God is there and God will give me everything that I desire. And that's not what that means at all. God is not a genie where we rub the lamp of prayer and God gives us our three wishes. God is not a cosmic vending machine where we say just the right sort of prayer and immediately what we ask for comes out. Instead, what this means is the more we develop a relationship with God, the more we communicate with God through prayer, which means not only our talking to God, but our waiting for that response and listening to it. The more we do that, the more prayer shapes and molds us into God's will. So the more we pray for those things that are the will of God, that are the heart of God. I was listening to one podcast where a preacher was saying that when we pray, we hear God's heartbeat and God hears ours. That's how close we become to one another, just as a parent picks up a child and comforts that child by putting them next to the chest where they can hear that heartbeat. Did you ever have that happen when you were a child? I remember when I was afraid one night, I must have been fairly small. I think I was awakened actually by my dad snoring. He snored like a bear. And I woke up and I was frightened and I started to cry. And my dad came into my room and picked me up and just held me. And comforted me that way. And I know I could hear his heartbeat. And I felt soothed and comforted and was able to go back to sleep. So prayer is that relationship where we hear the heartbeat of God and God hears our heartbeat as well. Where we become more and more in tune with God's wishes for our life, God's desires for our life. And our prayer starts to reflect that. That we start to pray more for the needs of others and less for the needs of ourselves. So, are you willing to go to God boldly? With that shameless audacity, that shameless persistence, knowing that God is there when you knock, knowing that God tells us to ask and we will receive, to search and we will find, to knock and the door will be open, and to know that God is the first to ask us, that God is the one to first search for us, that God is the first to knock on the doors of our hearts. So be bold in your persistent prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day. What a friend we have in Jesus. Confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. Rooted and built up in Christ, we pray for the Church. Embolden church leaders to take risks for the sake of the gospel, and equip the baptized to proclaim your extravagant love for the whole world. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Rejoicing in the works of your hands, we pray for the natural world. Make rivers and lakes, oceans and all waterways sparkle with your radiance. Protect water sources and strengthen those who defend them. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Interceding on behalf of the vulnerable, we pray for the peoples of the world. Inspire all rulers and governing authorities with your justice. Guide the work of legislators and public officials that they advocate for the well-being of those they serve. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Persistent in prayer, we pray for our neighbors in need. To all who have hunger, give daily bread. To all who have bread, give hunger for justice. Open us to the cries of those who suffer. Merciful God, receive our prayer. abounding in thanksgiving, we pray for this congregation. Bless the prayer and fellowship ministries in this place. Call us together in times of praise and blessing, trouble and sorrow, in your holy name, merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
Buried with Christ in baptism and raised with him to new life, we give thanks for your saints who rest in your eternal presence. Join our voices with theirs as they sing of your great glory. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for all of those who suffer in mind, body, and spirit, especially those who are listed on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending in your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory. We give thee but thine own. It is number 686, verse 2.
Do this for the remembrance of me. gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray boldly as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us to this gift, in faith toward you, and in fervent love for one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as you go into the world in mission, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor.